Certainly, it's good to see all of you. We appreciate you being here this morning. I know there are quite a few of our number who aren't able to come, those who have health issues where they're not able to be here due to our current situation in this country, and we certainly understand that. We miss them terribly. We think about them and pray for them, and as J.R. said, we should be checking on them and helping them in any way that we can. I think we can all agree that we're in a very unusual time in our history. Because of this invisible, deadly virus that any one of us could be carrying, we're not able to go about our daily walks of life. It's not business as usual. And that's true as a society, and it's true in the church also. It is our present distress. That's what we're in right now. We're in a present distress. Paul speaks of a present distress in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you would like to turn and read it with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 26 through 27. He says, "I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loose. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife." Due to the present distress, Paul believes that at that time it was best for them not to marry. Now, that doesn't mean that once the present distress is past that couldn't marry. And certainly there's scriptures which teach how a man should leave his father and mother, and a woman should leave her father and mother, and they should come together and become one flesh in a marriage relationship. We understand that that is true. But at this time, during this present distress, whatever this present distress happened to be, his life and the ones around him life was different than normal circumstances. And Paul tells the Corinthians that it is better not to marry. Normal circumstances, it's fine to marry, but now in this present distress, it is unwise to do so. And I want to suggest to you that as of now, we are in a present distress. And because of this present distress, it isn't, as we said, business as usual. We can't do everything exactly like we have been doing them before. So since we're in a present distress, I want to talk about our responsibilities. And the first responsibility that I want us to discuss is that we must care for one another physically. Now, when all of this is over, and I hope it's all over in 3 or 4 weeks, hopefully it's not longer than that. I'd love for it to be over tomorrow, obviously, or whenever, as soon as possible. But whenever it's over, we should all want to be able to come back here together, worship together, visit with one another, shake hands, hug necks, and have the same kind of fellowship that God wants us to enjoy. And brethren, that's not just with us who are here in this building now. That's with the ones who are sitting at home right now, not able to worship God because they're not able to come here. Because if they happened to catch this virus, it would kill them. That's certainly not a lack of faith on their part. That's common sense on their part. And it's common sense for them to stay away so that we don't have to say goodbye to them or to one another in a funeral home. And that's why we have to use common sense in this time of present distress. And I understand that we all have the hope of heaven. And that we're all looking forward to this hope of heaven, and we're looking forward to all being there one day and being there together one day. I also understand that we'll all be leaving this earth and leaving this body eventually. But we have to use common sense so that we can keep living on this earth and enjoying the blessings of this life on this earth as long as we are able to. You know, as we stay here dwelling on earth, we certainly, as we have our families here, we have our brethren here, and we have those who are lost in this world. And those who are lost need to be converted. And that's what Christians' job is, to go into the world and to convert souls. And we need to be those Christian influences here. And so that's why we have to use common sense, so that we are able to stay healthy and stay living, so that we're able to do that. Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Paul says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, as now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith." Paul had confidence here that it wasn't his time to die. It was his time to continue living. Now, he says if he dies, that would be gain for him. He wouldn't have a problem with that because he knew what his reward would be. But he also says that it's not my time yet, and while I am here, because I am still living, and as long as I am able to continue to live, that will be needful. That's needful for you. Because I can write these letters, and I can visit you, and I can teach you, and I can encourage you, and I can help show you the truth. Brethren, there are those in this world who need the truth. And Christians need to be here so that we can show them the truth. And that's why, again, we need to use common sense. We need to care for one another physically. We need to, as we're trying to do today, stay 6 feet away from each other so that we do not happen to give someone something. We need to follow the guidelines of the experts. We need to practice social distancing so that we don't infect our neighbor. So it's very important that we look at each other's physical needs and do what we can to protect one another physically and understand what people need to do to keep themselves healthy physically. But then we also must care for one another spiritually. And this is where it gets difficult. Because as we're trying to care for one another physically, and we're trying to care for one another spiritually, and we're trying to do all this even though there is this hidden, deadly virus that we don't know whether we have or not, there's a balance we have to try to figure out. Now, we know what the commandment is, and we know what the ideal thing to do is, what the commandment of the Scriptures is, and what we as Christians are supposed to be doing. And we can look at those passages. We can look, for example, in Acts 20 and verse 7 in regard to the Lord's Supper. We know as Paul is traveling, he's traveling in in order to take the money to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he goes through Troas. And when he's there, the first day of the week comes around, and the disciples he's traveling with and the disciples in Troas, they come together. And it says in verse 7 that they come together, they came together to break bread. So they knew that they were supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper, and they knew that they were supposed to come together in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. No question about that. And then, of course, Paul preached also on that day. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 18 through 20. Same thing, and this is also in regard to the Lord's Supper. For first of all, when you come together, so it's the idea of coming together again as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are proved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So they're being chided for when they come together, they're not doing so to eat the Lord's Supper, and they're coming. They're making it a common meal and all of that, but it's said that they are to come together. All right, well, the same is true when it comes to singing in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. And he's contrasting being drunk with wine in verse 18 to being filled with the Spirit. And speaking of the ways that we can be filled with the Spirit, he says in verse 19, speaking to one another. So when you come together, you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So all of these verses is all about togetherness. It's all about coming together. But here's the issue. What if assembling together could cause physical harm to one another? Brethren, that's the present distress right now that we're in. That's what's not normal. That's what we're having to deal with at this time, what we're trying to work through. That's what faithful brethren all over this world are trying to figure out. How do we come together and worship with one another, as these verses that I read say we must do? And then how do we protect one another from this virus that's going around? You know, all of these brethren, and I'm talking about faithful brethren, I'm not talking about the religious world in general. I'm talking about our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who love God, who want to serve God every day. I'm talking about elders, I'm talking about preachers. All of them have the desire to serve God the way He has commanded. But all of them also want to protect one another. And that's the dilemma. That's the difficulty that we're in. How do we do that? There's disagreement on how to do that. I've been conversing with preachers and elders. We've been discussing, and everybody comes to the same conclusion, basically throwing their hands up in the air and saying, what do we do? Because nobody really knows what the best thing is to do. Everybody has to make judgments. And the various congregations are making different judgments, doing things different ways. And we're going to talk about some of those ways here in just a minute. But it's up to a congregation to make those decisions. But I want to tell you what, these elderships are struggling with these decisions. These are agonizing to them. They are making much thought into this, putting much thought into this. And it's hurting them, physically hurting them, trying to figure out what is the best thing to do. Because, you know, some of these congregations may be 200 people. All those people, if they all come into the building, that's not going to be good if anybody happens to have that virus. So what do the elderships do? And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I want to make the point that no one has all the answers. And I also want to make this point, that 3 weeks ago, none of this even crossed our minds. Nobody had even thought about any of this before. Nobody had thought that this would ever even be an issue, surely not in the United States of America. How is that going to be an issue here, where we try to figure out how to worship? We're just going to go and do like we always do. That's what we were thinking 3 weeks ago. You know, I recall that about 3-4 months ago, I don't remember exactly how long it was now, it wasn't very long ago, we had another present distress. Remember the present distress where people were coming into the church building and shooting up the church building? Remember what we were talking about then? We were talking about the possibility of locking our door to lock ourselves inside. Now we're talking about meeting out in the parking lot so that we don't get a disease. You see, there's different present distresses, and you have to deal with them in different ways. But that's what we were thinking about 3 weeks ago, or 3 months ago. And today we're discussing about how can we be safe in this present distress. I also want to point out that we don't need to make this a divisive issue, and I don't think brethren are. The brethren that I've talked to, all the preachers and the elders who I've been conversing with and listening to and discussing this with, trying to figure out what to do, just process it in our minds, all of them want to do the right thing, as we say. And if they decide to do something differently than someone else, and they can in good conscience do that and believe that they can worship that way, then we don't need to make that a divisive issue. But we have to do what's best for our congregation. The Westwood Village Church of Christ has to do what's best for us. And we have to think about our brethren who aren't sitting here right now. And they're sitting at home, and they haven't been to church in 3 weeks. They haven't been able to worship God. They haven't been able to partake of the Lord's Supper. They haven't been able to see you. They haven't been able to shake your hand. They haven't been able to wave to you, because they haven't been able to assemble. We've got to think about those people too. We've got to think about ourselves and think about them. Think about Linda, who's always sitting back there. And she hasn't been able to be here because if she gets that illness, it'll kill her. And we think about Sister Riles, who's always here. And we think about all the others that we have. What can we do to help them have spiritual nourishment? To help them be able to worship? Now, it's not ideal. It can't be ideal, because the ideal thing is everybody come here and worship together. But what can we do to help them the best that we can in this present distress, which is for a short period of time, which is not going to be a precedent, which is not going to be, well, this is how we're going to do it from now on. But this, in this present distress, what can we do to help all of our brethren serve God? That's what we have to think about. That's what elderships are thinking about. That's what other preachers are thinking about. That's what other members are thinking about. What can we do? And I'm just going to go through some of the ideas the different elderships in different locations have come up with, churches have come up with, that they've decided to put in practice temporarily in this present distress. And everyone doesn't agree with everyone else, as we said. And I certainly have my opinions on all these things. I have my opinions on what I think could be done, should be done, can't be done, whatever. I have my opinion. My opinion doesn't mean a hill of beans. We have to do the best we can according to God's Word to obey the commandments that He's given. but we also have to make sure we do things in a good conscience. So, let's look at some of these. And I guess before we start that, I want to make this point. I want to make the point that if congregations have decided that they can't worship, maybe they can't even come together in the building at all and worship, and there certainly are elderships who have done that, who have canceled their services, we are not going to look at that as being government interference or government persecution. You know, just because they may be following the government guidelines of what the government says we should do as far as how many people and spreading out and all that, the idea of we ought to obey God rather than men doesn't apply here. Because the government is not persecuting us and saying that you cannot be Christians and you cannot worship God. That's not what it's all about. Our government doesn't do that. Our government is looking out for the health and the safety of individuals. And so those are two totally different things, and we need to understand that. But here's a few of the things that are being done. The first one is what we're doing, have service at the building and sit 6 feet apart the best that we can. Of course, there's problems with that. Some don't want to be here for that reason because it's a small building. We know germs can travel pretty quickly everywhere, and they don't see that that's going to keep them safe. So that's an argument against it. Sometimes some churches, especially bigger churches, they may not be able to do that because even if they have a big building, they've got so many people. Normally the congregation, the auditorium would be completely full. There's no way they could all spread out and be 6 feet apart. So they have that dilemma in regard to continuing to meet as normal. But that's one thing that can be done, continue to meet as we have been and sit 6 feet apart. Another suggestion, have service at the building and everyone wear masks. Well, there's problems with that. Masks can certainly be uncomfortable. Everyone may not have a mask. We may have people come in who don't have masks. So there's issues with that. Another possibility of what people have done. Some people come to the building. The ones who want to risk it come in the building, and the others stay out in their cars in the parking lot. Maybe with an FM transistor radio. Apparently the FM transistor radios are very difficult to find these days because a lot of people have come up with this idea. There's one church I know, backs up his pickup truck and puts the podium in his pickup truck, and everybody's sitting in their cars right there, and he... they have the service in the back of the pickup truck and everybody's in their car and they are listening on their radios and they pass out the Lord's, they have the little cups like these that we have now that we'll eventually utilize with the bread and the fruit of the vine, and so they say the prayer and take it all, and they're all together in that sense in that they're all in their individual cars being protected, but they are together in the parking lot. So there's the possibility, I suppose, of having a system like that. Some may be able to come in the building who are comfortable doing that. Others stay out in their cars with whatever means you can do, video conferencing, whatever it happens to be, so that we are together. Now here, there's, of course, issues with that. Some say, well, you're not all together. The ones who are in the parking lot aren't together with the ones in the auditorium. Of course, then you start thinking about, well, what about the mother in the nursery? If she's taking the Lord's Supper in the nursery, is she together with the rest of the people in the auditorium? So I guess then the question becomes, how many walls or too many walls between the brethren? You can just keep going in your mind like that, trying to figure out that kind of thing. But the point is, okay, during the present distress, what's the best that we can do? If someone would feel safe sitting out in the parking lot in their car listening to the service, and that's the best that they could do, then what do we do? That's one of the ideas. Another idea, have a live broadcast where anyone who's not able to come are able to watch at home in a virtual service. There are some congregations who are doing that. Sometimes their preacher and maybe a song leader is coming to the building, and the preacher, they lead the singing, and they have the preaching, and they lead the prayers, and they do the communion and everything, but everybody's doing it at home in what they refer to as a virtual assembly, so that they're all together virtually, and they're all taking part virtually, singing in their homes, and doing so by watching together in a virtual service. Some people say, well, no, that you can't do that because you're not together. Other people say, well, yeah, you are together. And again, what's the best that we can do? So there's arguments back and forth. Is that scriptural? Is it not scriptural? And I guess you can do that with all this. But in the present distress, what do we do? And that's how some have decided to get through that. They don't see a way to, or really any difference much in whether they're all meeting in their cars separately in the parking lot or whether they stay home. And some, for that matter, may just because in good conscience they can't partake of the Lord's Supper at home without being together or sing at home without being together. So they just watch maybe the sermon and watch the class so that they will at least have that spiritual feeding. And then they don't partake of the Lord's Supper and they don't sing and they don't do the other things because they can't in good conscience do that if they're not all together. Those are possibilities too that people are doing. Now again, I want to stress that this is all because of the present distress. What is the right thing to do? The right thing to do that we know to do is for everybody, all Christians, to come to this building, sit down here, worship God, sing together, pray together, partake of the Lord's Supper together. But what do we do during the present distress? And those are just a few of the ideas that I've heard that people are doing in order to get through this. Elders have canceled service, says don't come to the building and have virtual service. Elders have changed everything to the parking lot. They've done different things in different places. Now I want to point this out before we go on. Paul had a present distress when he was arrested and when he was in prison. When he was arrested and he was in prison, he wasn't able to worship the way God commanded. He wouldn't have had access to the Lord's Supper like he would have been commanded, or had access to be able to meet with the brethren. Now, I understand when he was in Rome in prison, he was in the rented house, that people came to him. Maybe people came to him and worshiped with him there. But there were times when he was in prison when he would not have had that kind of freedom. What would he do? How would he serve God? Well, he'd do the best he could due to his present distress. You see the point? And that's what we have to do when we can't do things as normal. And that's what we have to figure out what to do at the Westwood Village Church of Christ. How can all of our members be admonished and continue to worship God? And we need to think about our brethren. We need to think about those who can't be here. And what can we do to help them worship and serve God? No one on earth knows how long this is going to last. But I can't wait till we can all come back together like we used to and worship God. That day is going to be a joyous day. I can assure you of that. When we see all the ones who are not able to be here and are shut in at home because they can't get out right now, walk in that building, I guarantee you they're going to have big smiles on their faces. And I am too, because I miss them. And we can't go see them right. I don't know if I have it or not. I don't want to give somebody something. And so we need to think about all of them in this. Now, I want to do a couple of things before we close. I want to read this first of all. I thought this was excellent. And I don't know if he wrote it or if he found it, but I found it by Brother Terry Benton. He's a preacher. This is what it says. In 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I'll shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I'll shut down the civic centers. You want to worship actors? I'll shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I'll shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You want to go to church and worship me? Well, I'll make sure for now that you can't go to church and worship me because you've been putting all this other stuff ahead of me. If my people, and this is from 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, this is how he concludes it. Maybe we don't need a vaccine, but maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, Jesus. Now, we can look at that both ways. We need a vaccine. We need medicine to help with all of this. But what a time this is, isn't it? Haven't we figured out what's really important now? What we should really be thinking about now? Let's look at the positives. The positive is our family are able to stay home and be with family. We're able to spend time together as family. Parents are actually raising their kids instead of having schools and babysitters do it. They're learning how to teach their kids what they need to know. And a lot of them are learning that they haven't taught their kids very much discipline because now they're having to face these kids at home instead of having the teachers do it. And they're having to deal with it and pulling their hair out trying to figure out how to raise their kids. That shouldn't be. Let's use this as an opportunity to love our families and to enjoy the time we have with our families. We have the desire now to be together as Christians. Did we take that for granted before? Did we take for granted the fact that we could come here and we could see all of our brethren here? And we'd say hi in passing and welcome, it's good to see you, and then go our merry ways. Now we have the desire to be here as Christians. And it's fascinating to me looking at how all these churches are trying their very best to figure out how to worship God and how to see each other despite this present distress. That shows putting a priority on what's important, doesn't it? That shows a desire to assemble instead of trying to get out of here as fast as we can. We want to figure out how we can assemble. It's caused us to check on one another and show concern for one another, showing that brotherly love that we should have. It's caused us to try to figure out ways to come together and worship safely, racking our brains. What can we do? How can we worship? How can we make sure that all of us are spiritually fed? We've thought about that. We continue to think about that, and we still ponder over that. And then finally, we are concerning ourselves with what really matters and not with the cares of this world. Money doesn't seem as important right now, does it? Jobs, all the things that we have in our lives, watching sports on TV, going to stores, shopping. Oh, that doesn't seem as important anymore, does it? What's important is, how can we worship God? How can we encourage one another? I think there's a lot of good that's come out of this. I think we have a different mindset today than we did 3 weeks ago. And I'm thankful that we do. And I hope that this is over fast so that we can get back to our regular lives. But when we get back to our regular lives, let's not forget this moment. And let's not forget the importance of one another and of worship and of God. Hope that if you haven't been living as a Christian, that you will start living as a Christian. And certainly there's no better time than now than to make a change in your life, to turn back to God, to start serving Him again. If you have sin in your life, we urge you to repent, to pray, and ask God to forgive you of those sins. There may be some who have not yet become Christians. If you're not yet a Christian, we urge you to repent of your sins, to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, so that you can be added to the church, so that you can become a child of God, so that you can be a part of His kingdom, and you can go to heaven someday. We hope that you'll make the decision to do that. But if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?